Welcome to the Half Hour Happy Hour. Your chance to sit back, have a drink, and listen to some insightful musings, funny anecdotes, the occasional rant, and an all-too-frequent Bruce Willis reference. Join Jen, Justin, and Jer in hoisting a beverage or three, picking apart topics of the day and explaining how things came to be the way they are. It's one part educational, one part bacchanal, best served over ice with a healthy dose of wit and a twist of cynicism.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another installation of your very favorite, the Half Hour Happy Hour. Don't we sound amazing? Can we just get a little bit of a round of applause for our brand new equipment? Yay! Okay. So hopefully you are enjoying us much more. You can hear our nice, clean, crisp voices as we talk about superheroes today. So whip out your favorite PJs, your mom's towel that you can tie around your neck,
and I always loved the towel around the neck for the cape.
Absolutely.
That was my signature move.
And you had to put some of the couch cushions on the floor so you could get that flying leap. So get all that ready. Get the cushions off the couch. Find your favorite towel while we tell you what we're drinking. Jer, what are you drinking over there?
Today I have Loose Cannon's American Hop Cubed Ale. Surprisingly enough, it's rather hoppy. Golden ale. Honestly, there's not a lot to it aside from the hop. It's triple hopped. So
it's icky.
It's not icky. It's good, but it lacks the depth that, you know, the yeast brings, to be perfectly honest. It's like liquid hop. It's a little over the top even for me.
So you're drinking a salad over there?
Basically, yes.
Awesome.
It's got a citrusy smell. It's very floral. It needs yeast badly, in my opinion, and I don't say that lightly.
Ew.
Well, Justin, what do you have?
I'm drinking the Whirlwind Wit Beer by the Victory Brewing Company. It is a unfiltered Belgian-style wheat ale. It was very unfiltered. I was holding up the bottle and looking to it through the glass, and if I didn't know it was beer and I didn't know what was floating in it, I'd be like, oh my God, what is that? but that being said, it's actually very good. It doesn't have quite so much bite like a normal wit beer does. It's nice and smooth, so yep. Jen, what about you?
Yep. I've got a Breckenridge Vanilla Porter over here, and I'm actually quite excited about it. Of course, porters are nice and roasted and malty and yummy. So it's got those chocolate flavors, but they finish it with real vanilla, so it kind of tastes like a cupcake. It's like a beer cupcake dessert in my face, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit. Actually, I like their line, a vanilla kiss in a rich, dark sea.
Ooh.
So now that you're
sounds
feeling
a little
naughty.
Yeah.
Little naughtiness in your face. Right, so...
So, cheers.
Cheers.
As we break the glasses. Right. So, stories. We got some story time. Stuff that we found interesting during the week. And, Funk, what's your favorite story this week?
There was a couple of stories. There wasn't a whole lot going on that I found very interesting. Sony, like we talked about before, you know, all their stuff got hacked and has been getting hacked. They were, you know, this last week was they're finally bringing PSN, you know, the network and all this stuff back online. It's supposed to be fine. Their picture website got hacked like the day that everything else came back online, and they posted hundreds of thousands of user credentials and stuff like that. There's actually a tool. There's tools floating around online now where you can go and punch in your email address and say, has my stuff been exposed through Sony's various services? This one was actually by a new hacker group called LulzSec, LulzSec. Like, they're laughing at your security, LulzSec.
Right.
So it's not anonymous affiliated or whatever, but there's been a lot of hacking going on. So I think that is going to snowball into some more stuff down the road. People are going to start taking it a lot more seriously.
Every day I was checking my news feeds, and there was always something about Sony getting hacked again.
Literally every, you know, every day. And the other, there was another big one. I think it was something through Lockheed possibly, but there was a security breach. And it was actually the company that does the RSA security keys, which is, you know, used by most of the Fortune 500. All of their encryption is, you know, pretty much compromised at this point, which is a pretty big deal.
Wow.
So, you know, but that's shenanigans. My personal favorite story of the week that is completely ridiculous is in Colorado, there's a small punk band by the name of Elway, that former quarterback John Elway caught wind of and for whatever reason didn't like. So he sent his lawyers after them. Didn't go so far as to try to sue them or deliver a cease and desist, just suggested, you know, we want you to change the name of the band.
Is the band spelled the same way?
Yeah, spelled Elway.
And there's nobody in the band with the last name, say, Elway?
No.
Okay.
No, but, you know, the band has been humorous about it. They posted a reply on punknews.org, said, we have no intention of changing the name again. We love the name, regardless of what connotations are inferred by the listener. Surely, if the Dead Kennedys could become one of punk's most popular bands without incurring litigation, Elway can keep their moniker and continue making so-so music for our dozens of fans to enjoy.
Word.
And it's an excellent...
I'm going to start listening to them now, just out of principle.
Well, and the article goes on to say, you know... nobody would have ever heard of this band before, but now, you know, people are going to their MySpace page, checking out their songs. Like, it's, thanks for the free publicity.
Elway says thanks, John Elway.
So, right. So we should make it a point to, like, either offend or reference as much stuff as possible so we get somebody's attention. Free publicity. And I'm seeing the light bulbs go off.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my goodness, who can we offend? Go.
Seriously, I got nothing.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, we're really good at offending people.
Well,
but,
we should at some point.
It's more random.
Target people with money.
We're scattershot at best.
I think the worst we've done so far is our so far unreleased movie episode where Paul Bettany gets the butt end of that episode.
Stay tuned for those outtakes, kids. Good Lord.
We love him, by the way. We just couldn't remember his name.
Poor thing.
But yeah, so those were what interest me this week. What about you, Jen?
I actually just recently viewed the George Lucas Strikes Back trailer. If you guys haven't heard of this, it's a little parody trailer film that supposes that the real George Lucas has been imprisoned for 20 years while his doppelganger cavorted around Skywalker Ranch making Star Wars prequels and Indiana Jones sequels. And it's really rather humorous. You guys should go check it out. Every nerd should see that.
We'll put the list or the link in the show notes.
Of course.
And actually, you know, I kind of like that fantasy better than the current reality. So I'm going to, that's my new reality.
How many Star Wars like parody things have come out that have made Jar Jar Binks like,
oh yeah, there was, what was the one?
The one that he's like floating out in space.
Yeah. There was a video. There was a video I'll have to find and post on there also, but it depicts, what put Han at cross with Jabba, like what the cargo was that he jettisoned.
It was
Jar Jar. But it's actually a pretty decent little clip. So,
well, in this one, the George Lucas Strikes Back, Jar Jar is he's the right-hand man of the doppelganger, evil George
Lucas.
He's
like a Pulp Fiction type.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant.
Assassin.
Jar Jar in a suit. Yeah, Jer, what do you got going over there?
Well, I actually found this great article on Wired. The title is "The Mystery of the Canadian Whiskey Fungus," and
ew.
Yeah, I know it sounds terrible, but so there's this fungus that had to be explained because it's all over these houses.
There's a fungus among us.
There's a fungus among us. but the problem was nobody could identify it. So there's a distillery in Canada, and all of the houses and fences, any flat surface, was starting to grow this fungus, including stainless steel.
Hmm.
And they had to do research. They start looking around. Sure enough, because these barrels are being aged in this warehouse, and this happens now throughout Europe, and they're witnessing it, this is a different strain. But what happens is the Angel's portion that evaporates from the barrels becomes aerosolized.
Wait. I just want to say, is that an actual term, the Angel's portion?
Yes. 10% of what's in the barrel every year disappears.
Huh.
And so it's been dubbed the Angel's portion because, I mean, whiskey
that's
just
pretty
so
cool.
Good.
I mean, I like that. Yeah.
and so once it aerosolizes, if you will, it floats around and it feeds this fungus that would otherwise not have food. It can't grow anywhere else.
It's a drunk fungus.
It's a really drunk fungus. It lives on the acetones and such that are coming out.
That's kind of awesome.
It really is. And the big question was, there was one company buying the company in Canada, and they wanted to make sure that they weren't going to be held financially responsible for having to clean up a 2-mile radius around these warehouses. Because, you know, if we have to pressure wash the houses every year, that's fine. But let's just know that going in so we can build it into the costs.
I say, you know, it's set the site up as a reserve. You've got this, you know, we have to protect this life form.
Well, yeah, especially since, so the original ones were found in Europe at the older distilleries or in wine caves, but they require very specific temperatures, very specific humidity levels. These were growing in Canada outdoors. Wide-ranging humidity levels, temperature ranges, and nobody could figure out how this thing happened. Well, it turns out it's just one of those little funguses that otherwise lays dormant and nobody knows anything unless these chemicals happen to be released in the air.
Freakish.
Really bizarre.
Nature is now drinking
my alcohol.
I want
to advise all the whiskey drinkers out there, you can now use that as an excuse to not stop drinking.
Yes.
You're giving rise to new life. You're creating new life. Keep drinking that whiskey.
I have no respect. the other
Thanks,
one.
Thanks, I needed that excuse.
Jen's getting light bulbs all over the place today.
The
I like whiskey.
One of my hobbies is finding very badly written titles to articles. Headlines crack me up if they're poorly edited. and this was from Rotten Tomatoes, and it fit perfectly with our topic this week. Box office wrap up: Thor finishes on top of Bridesmaids.
And that would be the perfect time. Let's just take a moment out, gather that mental picture. I was going to say grab your towels, but now it's just a dirty reference.
It really is.
You know, multifunction. Grab your towels, grab your couch cushions. We'll be back for our superhero discussion.
When one decides to obscure identity and hit the streets for a night of vigilante justice, there is a uniform. You may not notice it at first, but every Caped Crusader needs a costume that accomplishes two things. Protects from the wicked ass kicking at hand and looks fantastic whilst doing so. At Stitchmaster Super Crafters, we have the fashion you crave, the privacy that you require, and the expertise that you simply cannot find anywhere else. From latex to leather and chainmail to adamantium in the season's most popular colors. We specialize in custom utility belts and will work closely with your gadgeteer to make you functional and fabulous. So stop in to one of our three secret locations or find us on Facebook. Though, if you ever so much as lay eyes on our Facebook page, the superhero privacy contract is considered totally null and void.
Hi, everybody. We're back. that might have been a little loud. I'm sorry. No. So, anyway, we're going to get into our discussion on superheroes right now. We're going to kind of run a broad, you know, topic on this. We're going to start with the fictionalized superheroes. It's obviously a big trend right now. There's all kinds of movies coming out. Not so much, you know, the actual comic book part of superheroes isn't really prevalent these days. I don't know. I guess I don't go to the comic book shop, so I don't really know. You know, I used to be into comics, but not so much anymore.
I'm too cool for comic book shops.
Right. You just get them delivered and go there and pick them up. I don't know. I know you've always, Jen's always got a new stack of comics every now and then, but you know, the movies, there's, you know, what, 3-4 new superhero movies coming out this summer alone.
They're lining
X-Men,
up a whole bunch of them.
Green Lantern, Thor. Oh yeah. And even more, I mean the Avengers, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a big deal right now. It's big business for the movie industry. I've got some of the figures on how much, you know, these franchises and movies have grossed,
Your favorite actor in spandex.
Yeah.
Or nothing at all, Ryan Reynolds. Hello.
Yeah.
Don't give me that face, Chair. Green Lantern. Look up the Green Lantern trailer. Uh-huh. And if you don't think
that's
like,
not him, he's
glowing
CGI.
Green porn.
He's
I know,
CGI
but I'm
the
aware
whole time.
Of that. But like, it's supposed to be him. So in the movie, it's quote unquote him. And you can't help but think dirty things that might make you radioactive in certain orifices. I'm sorry.
I can help. But
wow.
Think,
yeah.
I can help but think of those things. Those don't come anywhere near my mind. I'm going to keep my hair and mucus intact and not.
Wow.
Tying it together. So anyway. All right. So just to give a bit of control to these, you know, a control value. I looked at a couple of, you know, the seminal franchises from other...
Bad choice of words. Yeah, okay.
from other, a couple of other related genres. So I looked at the Matrix trilogy, which, you know, most people would say is, you know, science fiction. You know, and I was thinking about it earlier, you know, maybe Star Trek, maybe Star Wars. I don't know how many people really saw Star Trek. Star Wars is a little too given, like, you know, it's too big. Right. Matrix is, you know, pretty much everybody saw Matrix and it's a good sci-fi. So domestic gross of the Matrix trilogy was $592 million. And then for fantasy, I looked at the Lord of the Rings trilogy and they did $1 billion domestic, all three movies.
Combined.
All three movies combined. Yeah. Okay. Each one was around, you know, $300 million. So, and then looking at superhero movies, the Batman franchise, starting at, you know, the original Batman movie in 89 up to Dark Knight is $1.4 billion. That's, you know, six movies compared to Lord of the Rings three, but still whatever. So the three Spider-Man movies have done $1.1 billion. And then, the three X-Men movies and the Wolverine spinoff is $786 million. And the Iron Man with only two movies is $630 million, which is pretty decent. So, and then the Superman movies come in after that, $518 million.
For like all of them?
For like all of them, yeah.
Oh, burn.
It's actually interesting to see the numbers, so.
But are those adjusted for inflation?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Just,
no. Well, yeah, and we're looking at the Batman movies back in 89, too, so that number has to be a little.
Well, and I was thinking the original Superman was 80s.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't like those, so they're not.
Well, and the original Batman out in 89, $251 million domestic gross.
Which at the time would be ridiculous.
Which would be a lot.
Word up. That's awesome.
Yeah, a lot. The Superman movies, you know, the first one in 78 did $134 million. Superman 2 in 81 did $208 million. Superman 3 in 83 did $59 million. Superman 4 in 87 did $15 million.
Wow.
Yeah, declined a lot until Returns, which did $200 million, which I didn't care for Returns at all.
It was all right.
Yeah. And the one that I thought was surprising on here was the Blade movies. They all three of them did 204 million domestic gross. None of the three movies cracking 100 million. Which kind of surprised me because they were, I mean, pretty decent movies. I thought they were fairly well received.
Were those?
I thought they were well received, but you have to remember back in the day, nobody knew Blade was a comic book character.
That's true.
Okay.
So it was
that was going to be my next question. So
yeah, no, Blade's
it was
a comic
not
book
promoted okay. As a comic book
you're
movie
right,
at
right.
all.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm probably the dumbest person at this table when it comes to comic book superhero stuff. So
I haven't kept up with it a whole bunch. I was big into X-Men when I was younger. You know, I collected the cards. I read the comics for a decent bit, but
there were cards.
Oh yeah, there were cards.
Like so, I know,
like
nothing.
Baseball cards. So let me tell you. So I collected like the complete X-Men 1 and 2 card sets, thinking they'd be worth some money someday. Had them stuffed up in my attic for a good 10 years before I took them to a comic book store to try to sell them. And I was like, "What are these worth? Nothing. What can I do with them? I don't know. Wallpaper your room with them." I was like, "Really?" He's like, "Yep. The market fell right out for those." Sweet.
Wow.
Yep. Fortunately, I do have some comics still stashed, so.
Well, you know what might be part of that is these are people who actually collect stuff. I mean,
right.
You're dealing with a genre of collectors.
I don't know. I didn't read any of that stuff. I always read the dark, weird stuff like Dark Horse and Vertigo, and I never had a big interest in superhero. Like, I followed them in a general sense, but I never fell in love with any particular superhero comic genres, storylines. So, I mean, I guess that kind of gives me a really interesting perspective on comic books because the superhero thing is far from my focus.
Right. So, and, you know, of these movies, the one that has grossed the most, and I think this is very telling of our society in general and why these kind of movies are so popular, is The Dark Knight, the newest Batman movie that came out. Dark Knight alone did $533 million domestic. Which is nothing to sneeze at.
No, not at all.
And, you know, I think the Batman is, you know, the number one franchise, the highest movie. And I think Batman resonates so much with people because he's a normal dude.
Right.
He's no superpowers. He's just a normal person fighting the odds.
Well, he's not a normal dude.
Well.
He follows a very, very particular, you know, story, character arc development thing. That's a technical term. You can look it up. Most superheroes, regardless of their origin or whether they are coming from a different planet or they're bitten by radioactive spiders or however, like, they always have some sort of adversity to overcome. And of course, Batman just, you know, had that very young, very early trauma.
So, but he always, Batman, all his character was designed around that kind of constant battle because, you know, Batman is nonviolent, you know, doesn't use guns, none of that. So to do his job, he's always at odds of.
I think I might disagree with the term nonviolent, but okay.
Okay, maybe non-lethal. Non-lethal, yeah. So he's got to constantly wrestle that, you know, this person is very dangerous and is killing people and constantly breaks out of jail. But I can't bring myself to kill him. I've just got to lock him up for this eternal struggle where, you know, it's an external struggle and it's an internal struggle also.
Well, yeah, but it's the difference between, you know, where you personally draw your lines. Like, Batman is the character that abides by the law, that believes in the system. And sometimes the system will fail you, but ultimately, you know, how many times has he captured the Joker? How many times have you broken out of Arkham? Like, why are we still putting them in the institution? Let's just zap the bastard.
Or upgrade security, you know?
I should have said that. Joker's one of my favorite characters. I think it's kind of interesting, like, how superheroes go through that whole process, how they go through. And I think it has a lot to do with religion. I actually inadvertently stumbled upon this website that the religious affiliation of comic book characters, and it has this epic list. And it cites where in their, you know, their story arc where they might have referenced what religion they are. And it goes through, like, I mean, Jared's first question was, are there Buddhists? Yes, there's a huge, and not just Buddhists. We have I Ching Buddhists and Tibetan Buddhists and all these different. I think it adds that different facet. But I think that tying religion into comic books is just a natural progression of things. Because what are superheroes if not?
They're the modern day gods.
I'm actually looking. I found this book,
and it really comes down to, you know, which pantheon do you believe in?
Exactly.
DC, Marvel, you know, whatever. Well,
from a crowdsourcing perspective, I thought it would be interesting to see from a, this is really geeky, Dungeons and Dragons perspective, their alignment of each one, where Batman is you know, lawful good versus Wolverine's chaotic neutral versus what have you, and there'd be a lot of interesting discussions as to why somebody is one thing and not another.
I was going to disagree with both of your.
Well, and, yeah. and that's right. Well, and you know more about it than I do, but I'm taking it from a movie perspective. Right, yeah. That's my whole.
I think part of the whole thing with the traditional superheroes of comics is they're either lawful or they're evil, and that's it. Like, there's not a whole lot.
Well, and this is, you know, the two big comic lines, Marvel and DC. I think they definitely embody two different approaches to it. DC to me has always felt very, very idealistic. You know, you've got Superman, who is the embodiment of idealism. And it just felt very confined, whereas Marvel was much more chaotic and let's look at the
struggle of humanity.
It was very sociological. You know, how does a society react to this new class of individuals? And you know, getting into, I guess, you know, racism would be one of the big things that, you know, you could relate Marvel comics too, at least.
Well, I think they both, I mean, obviously all the big houses kind of played off of each other and kind of moved in the same general directions. And, right. And then you get the crazy little ones that moved off in these crazy directions. But religion's always played a really close tie into superhero stuff and their mythos and their personal values. And I found this book. I read, like, pretty thoroughly read the review for it. And I really want to read the book, but it's by an author called Christopher Knowles. And the book's called Our Gods Wear Spandex and Towels. And it goes through and kind of breaks up, like, the archetypes of, you know, how what the superhero represents. And really, you can break it down into four simple archetypes. But what I thought was really interesting is each one of those archetypes represent something greater than us, something greater than human, hence superhero. But there were three, he mentions three really big spikes in comic book readership, which were the Great Depression, World War II, and most recently 9/11. And it's like when your hope starts to falter, you start to look for something bigger than yourselves. Like, our ancestors created the gods, and they created individual gods to serve individual purposes. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we've done with the superhero mythos. Like, you have a ridiculous amount of superheroes, with some of them superpowers.
Some of them are pretty ridiculous, yeah.
But I mean, they're very specific niches, and they serve a very specific purpose in the story arc that they're part of, and they may never surface again. But.
Well, even the nomenclature of them is frequently referencing the mythos that they originally are derived from.
But it's interesting to see like how this book, the Our Gods Wear Spandex book, goes into like kind of the history of where superheroes came from. And the guy ultimately credits Nietzsche for coming up with, you know, referencing the first real Superman. Mm. And, you know, anybody who knows Nietzsche was you know, all about the God argument and the existence of God or not. And I don't know, I just kind of think it's interesting to, yeah, DC takes the Santa Claus Christian God and turns him into Superman.
Right.
That's why I like Batman better.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think most people, you know, as we said before, Batman is the prevalent one. This superhero thing has been going on for, you know, years now. It's only getting more popular rather than less popular. And it's, I think we are in a period of time, at least in the US, where most people are disenfranchised with the way things are going. And this kind of superhero thing, it's, you know, maybe a little bit of escapism, maybe a little bit of hope, you know, gives them something to fantasize about.
And we're attaching less to the clean, perfect,
oh yeah,
Superman type gods, and we're going more towards like the character flawed, more three-dimensional characters, which is really kind of interesting.
Easier because, to relate with.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like that's what we are.
And it's becoming so prevalent these days that we're actually starting to see about real life superheroes, real life people who are, you know, dressing up in costumes and hitting the streets, trying to make the world a better place. And I think I'm personally very fascinated by that, all the different groups and things that I've been seeing.
When you say fascinated, why the word fascinated?
Well, partly because I think it's, you know, it's very telling of our society, and partly because it's like, maybe it's not completely impossible. Maybe I could go do that. I mean, not that I ever would necessarily, but...
Yeah, see, I think that was ultimately more my point.
Right.
Funk has said, like, if he ever gets a traffic ticket from a satellite, he's going to pick up the pitchfork and torch and, you know...
I spent a period, you know, I looked at some of these websites, and there were forums, and it's like, okay, here's, you know, instructions on how to make this little gadget or this stun baton or whatever. Like, I looked into it, you know, it's...
Well, and there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
But that's more, you know, I think just wanting to play with toys.
Right, exactly. When I actually stopped to think about it, I was like, I'd be really bored, like perched up on a rooftop somewhere waiting for something to go down.
Exactly. Most of your time you spend waiting for something important to happen so you can swing into the rescue, but realistically you can't go real fast.
Right.
So
and so it's interesting, you know, taking that into account. It's been interesting to see what these real life super, you know, masked vigilantes and groups have been doing. And not all of them are focused on fighting crime. A lot of them are about like civil service.
Mm-hmm.
I've read articles about, you know, I forget what his name was, but, you know, he gets in his costume and he just walks like the bad part of the neighborhood where there's drug dealers and prostitutes out and is handing out water and sandwiches like. Stuff like that.
Let's see Batman do that shit.
Well, you know, so it's a lot of charity, a lot of civil service. Obviously, there are the ones who, you know, go out and try to stop crime.
And likely get their asses handed to them.
You know, in
I mean, listen, or I'm arrested. I'm all for like excuses to wear a cape. And I would love to have a full-blown superhero costume. And stop giggling at me. I don't even want to know what you're thinking right now. I would totally rock a superhero costume, but I'm not going to go out and fight crime. Why? Because I know they have a gun, and I will die. Or get seriously injured. Or just make an ass out of myself on the evening news. Because that shit would happen to me.
Well, there was a TV show that came out, I think it was last fall, The Cape. And unfortunately, it got canceled.
It was a good show.
It was a good show, and he got his ass kicked on a regular basis. It showed the other side of a regular guy being a superhero. So while he wasn't particularly bulletproof, he had some help.
Particularly bulletproof.
Well, no.
His cape was Kevlar or whatever.
Yeah, it was spider silk, which, you know, they decided they created a world, and then they lived in it, which is all I really require of my fantasy stuff. And so, he wasn't bulletproof himself. And if you had a knife, you could own him. If you had a fist, you could own him. He was a decent fighter. He was an ex-cop, what have you. It was a really good show, but it showed the other side of it, where dude has to recover for a week after going out for a night and just getting pummeled.
And that kind of stuff does happen. There was a couple of news clips that have hit CNN, actually. There's a masked vigilante in Seattle named Phoenix Jones. And the first article, the first news thing that hit about this guy was there was some, you know, some citizen was in a parking lot and I think his car was getting broken into. Somebody was trying to break into his car. And he says this dude in a costume just comes out of nowhere and chases off this car thief. And this is this Phoenix Jones character. You know, he actually thwarted a crime.
If you're stealing a car and some dude in a cape's running towards you, wouldn't you just, like, get away? Because obviously everybody's now looking at that dude, and they're now going to be looking at what that dude's looking at, and you're going to be easily recognizable in the lineup.
Sure.
It's not even that the dude is going to come by and swoop in and kick your ass, or, you know, tie you up in a net and wait for the police to come, and Commissioner Gordon's going to take you away, whatever. It's that everybody's now watching you.
But I think, you know, because this mythos is so prevalent in society, that's not going to happen. I don't think you're going to have the... you know, the Spider-Man scenario where society is like, oh, he's a bad guy or whatever. People are rallying around these people.
No. I'm saying the car thief. I'm saying if you're sitting there, thieves in general don't want to be seen. Yeah, exactly. So and it doesn't even matter that the guy has absolutely no skills whatsoever. If he's just like wearing like a neon yellow cape and flying towards people, it's, hey, look at this jackass.
And he's doing what he's trying to do. I mean, these people are not out there to catch criminals and fight crime. They're there to stop the crime. Right.
Well, if you had a helicopter with a bright spotlight, you could do the exact same thing right. without putting anybody in harm's way at all.
But back on the subject of the superheroes getting their asses kicked, yes. there was a second news article that came out where Phoenix Jones got his nose broken because he, you know, there was a fight going on. He broke it up. He called the cops and then pinned one of the guys. And then a second dude came out and like they kicked his ass basically.
Well, but from a legal perspective too, as he's keeping somebody down, he's breaking the law.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you brought that up because I think that's another reason why this masked vigilante thing has taken off because I think deep down people do want to help one another. But society has gotten so messed up now that if you try to help anybody, you're running a good risk of personal damage to yourself, whether it be physical or legal or whatever.
Financial,
I would argue with that. Well, financial is one thing, but there is like a distribution of responsibility. I mean, what was that? It was a story forever ago. It's a psychological textbook thing that they had a woman was being raped outside an apartment mm-hmm. complex and several people witnessed it. But because they witnessed other people witnessing it, they figured someone else will call the cops. No one did.
Right.
So as Phoenix Jones is holding this guy down and somebody else comes up behind him and goes to break his nose or hold a gun to him or whatever different stories that there were with this particular guy, how many people were standing around watching that?
Plenty.
Sure.
So dude walks up.
It's still the same situation, you know. There's somebody's probably got a gun. Like you don't want to risk hurting yourself as just a normal citizen. So
does it really matter to you if you get shot trying to stop the citizen or if you get shot trying to stop the citizen with a gun in a superhero outfit? Like at that point, that's what I'm saying is that you've got bad dude on the ground. You've got Phoenix Jones on top of him. Now you've got another bad dude and there's a whole bunch of people around.
Okay,
Phoenix Jones has done his part in getting that one first dude down. Right. The distribution of responsibility is all those people are walking around and saw this happen and saw this other guy and they could have easily.
I've got two arguments for that. One, that's very much a product of U.S. culture. I've seen a few of like the crime shows, like the video surveillance of, you know, people robbing convenience stores, stuff like that. And the ones that they show from other countries, there's a lot of this dude pulls a gun and all 20 people in that market descend Absolutely. On that person. That stuff doesn't happen in America. They're like, oh, hands off. And then the other point I want to make is, you know, back to the Phoenix Jones, he was probably there. There's other people who aren't doing anything. From what I did see when I looked at these websites, the people who are doing this with the intent of thwarting crime, they're not approaching it haphazardly. They're not throwing on spandex and going out looking for trouble. They're getting body armor, suits of Kevlar, stun guns. I mean, they're protected. They're not, this isn't really a game for them. They're not, you know, throwing themselves out.
So it's not kick-ass is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not kick-ass where somebody buys spandex, thinks they're a badass, I'm going to go fight crime. They're taking it fairly seriously.
Well, there was an organization, and this was, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, that used to do take back the night things in neighborhoods.
Uh-huh.
And that was their deal, is they were armed with a walkie-talkie and maybe a thing of mace.
Right.
But they went out in groups. Mm-hmm. And they would make sure if somebody was dealing drugs. They just made it so that you couldn't do illegal business.
Unobserved.
Yeah, unobserved. And God, I wish I could remember the name of the group. It was something Angels. But that made more sense, because then you've got a group of people.
Right.
There's a group of superheroes, and I'm using air quotes, in Brooklyn doing the exact same thing right now. They dress up as a character, whatever they perceive themselves as, and they go out and they patrol. But there's a group of them. There's like five or six.
Right.
And the BBC followed them around and did a whole thing on them. But ultimately, if you've got six guys there, then there's somebody watching your back.
Right.
If you're doing it by yourself, you're a lone wolf.
There is a point to be made there.
You're a one-man wolf pack.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And doing get a what sidekick, doing, dude. That's not really
Batman safe. Had a sidekick.
And I think we will see, and we already are, you know, with this group that you talked about, as this really starts to hit the street and this becomes a real subculture of people doing this, I think you will see more people doing it, you know, in groups and pairs, because like I said, they're not being stupid about it. They're approaching it with intelligence, and that's the logical move, is, you know, you need backup. You are not a superhero. You are not anything special. You need support. So I think we will see that as time goes on. I don't see this ending anytime soon.
No.
Well, I want a green Kevlar towel. Just mark me down for one of those.
Have you guys seen the show that Stan Lee did on Discovery Science? Superheroes or superhumans?
No.
Kicks ass. Stan Lee, the guy who created...
No pun intended.
Who created the X-Men, is actually taking his vast fortune and going around the world looking for people who have, let's not call it superpowers, but powers that defy logic. Is the best way I can put it.
And there's a few out there. I mean, I've got a list of people who have cool stuff that they can do.
It's really interesting, because it takes the premise of the movie Unbreakable,
mm-hmm.
and actually Stan Lee goes out and tries to find these guys who fall at, you know, well, the premise being, you know, if you've got glass people over here and guys right. who can't be heard over here, well, maybe those are the foundations of the whole mythos. And he goes out and looks for guys with who can survive cold far longer than they should normally be able to. Magnetism, skin that's different than every other human. It's literally sticky, almost like the bottom of a gecko's toes.
Right.
Ew.
No, dude can hold a steam iron against his chest.
And that's what a lot of the, you know, you've seen the people who come out and say they're magnetic. I've seen a few of these stories.
Right.
And that's what it actually is. It is stuff is just sticking to that.
Yeah, stuff just sticks.
Like gecko's toes.
Yes.
While it might be a cool party trick that dude can stick an iron on his chest, can you imagine giving that guy a hug?
Yeah.
But it's different.
That's the thing with...
Because you've got something to break the surface tension or whatever it is that causes it. But he's literally got no hair. I mean, no hair.
That's his superpower.
No hair, no amazing hair follicles. Well, it's completely different than most that's other so people. Right. Everybody else has at least peach fuzz.
That's evolution. That's what evolution is that random mutation and whether or not it's, you know, helps survival or not.
Precisely. You take that idea to the extreme and you get comic book right, superheroes. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, there's actual people like that. And Stan Lee is impressed by them, which impresses me no end.
By the way, guys, if you ever want to pick up a chick in a comic book store, you should look up the new X-Men movie, the First Class, X-Men First Class, and learn from Baby Xavier.
Yeah, he's got a great pickup line.
He has a fantastic, calls this chick a mutant because she's got two different color eyes and has her like swooning at the end of 30 seconds. And I'm like, I would do him. Hell yeah.
Okay, let me just go ahead and reality check. How many women are you going to find in a comic book store?
Oh.
Aside from you.
Between zero and one.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
So the real life superheroes, you know, to go on it, there's actually a few of them that have some pretty cool powers. There's this kid, David Tammet, and he's actually... He had cancer in his eyes when he was like three and had them removed, so he's been blind. And he has, honest to God, echolocation.
Yes, sonar.
He walks around, he uses no guide dogs, nothing. He makes a clicking noise with his tongue, and he can see where objects are, like Daredevil almost. You know, he can see based on the sound.
He can skate.
Clicking noise with his
skateboard.
Tongue?
Yeah.
He skateboards like down the street and weaves between cars.
Yeah. Like no he shit. Can see
no
stuff
shit.
Based
it's
off
brilliant.
Of him. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, you know, there might be something over there. Like, he can almost act like he can see.
Yeah.
Based off of his echolocation. Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
Flipper on a skateboard.
And I'm sorry, that's not David Tammet. That is Ben Underwood. David Tammet is one of the other ones. He's a high functioning autistic. So this kind of gets into the whole, you know, you get a superpower, but you get a drawback on it. He has, you know, he has an advanced form of synesthesia. I'm hoping I'm saying that right, which is basically where you perceive one thing with a sense other than what it's supposed to be. So he sees numbers. Numbers have a color and a texture to them. And he can see the results of calculations as landscapes.
I've actually heard about that.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
He can see the result of a calculation as a landscape that has a look and a feel to him. And he says,
and translate it.
And he says certain numbers, you know, certain numbers are attractive. Certain numbers are ugly. He says pi is an extremely beautiful number in his vision.
What's an ugly number?
I didn't write down what his numbers were. I wish I would have, but
I like seven,
but he holds the record
and
for
13.
Memorizing and recounting pi to 22,514 digits.
What have you done lately?
Well, and it's not just numbers. He knows like seven languages.
Yeah.
He's inventing his own language.
It'll be the most efficient language out.
I guarantee it will be. And when the news station did the story on him, they really wanted to test his ability to learn languages. So they challenged him to learn Icelandic within a week. And at the end of that week, they had him on Icelandic television conversing with people.
Sure.
Learned a new language in a week.
Well, okay, but no. Statistically, now I'm not trying to detract from this guy at all, but if you learn 500 words, you can hold 80% of any conversation in any language. So you have to master 500 words in a week. Now, that's an impressive task nonetheless.
And he's autistic.
Well, to me, that's not a bad thing.
Not in this particular arena, but certainly depending on his abilities to learn and how
he learns.
He's a
high-functioning autistic, which means he's, you know, not...
Yeah, he's not dumb. He's probably not as social as you and I. He's definitely not as social as you. But
why did that sound like an insult?
Well, no, you're just more social than I am.
You're sacrificing brain power to be social.
Yeah. But so 500 words in a week is still
I'm looking around and like the only thing that can like help me out here, the only thing that's more social than you two is me and the cat.
And
the cat's like,
asleep.
I'm not participating in this. No, he's not. Look, there's an eyeball.
Cracked an eye open.
He knows we're talking about him.
But no, I mean, that's still impressive. 500 words in a week is ridiculous to be able to be articulate in a language.
Pi to 22,000 digits is pretty impressive.
That's
also
obscene.
Couple others. There's some that are kind of crazy. Michael Lolito is a French entertainer calls himself Mr. Eat It All because he eats undigestibles. Household appliances, silverware, ate a Cessna 150 over the course of a couple of years, broke it down into
like
little pieces.
That's a plane.
Ate a plane, yes.
And passed a plane?
Yeah, I mean,
you'd assume.
you kind of have to.
Yeah.
But the reason that they found he can do this, his stomach and intestinal lining is twice as thick as a normal person's, and they're assuming that his digestive fluids are a lot more effective also.
Wow. So he actually can digest it?
Yeah. And he suffers no ill effects. He will eat stuff that is supposed to be toxic and poisonous to other people, and it doesn't affect him.
So it's not
no
like he ate a Cessna and you could piece it back together when he's done.
No.
No,
he's digesting it. Yeah.
How bizarre.
Yeah. And then there's another guy, Ty Nagak, who doesn't sleep.
Ever?
Ever. He hasn't slept in 20 some odd years or something like that. No ill effects whatsoever.
Well, they just learned that people who don't sleep, insomniacs, and this is something I'm used to, your brain will actually shut off in functions.
Right.
And the most used neurons will just take a nap while everything else stays perfectly up and operating in a prescribed way.
But that's awesome. And he's still functioning, like, to prove that he's not suffering ill effects. Like, he carries sacks of flour to, you know, for his village every day. Like, he said, you know, for like 3 months, he spent his sleepless nights digging ponds for his house. Like, he's still able to do stuff. He's not, you know.
Wow.
Half brain dead. But and then the last one on the list that I thought was really cool is Kevin Richardson, the Lion Whisperer. We were watching a couple of videos.
Oh my god, it was so cute. Earlier, I want the kitties.
And it's awesome. Like, this dude is with lions like normal people are with cats. Like, whatever innate connection that he has with these big cats, like, they show videos where he's just standing there and these lions are just all over him, like, hugging him and like
chilling,
pawing
with him.
At him, but not like scratching at him.
Well, there was a bear guy like that at one point.
Yeah,
there's been a couple animals, like, they were going through this particular video, like, the one lioness was like terrified to go in the water and they needed a shot of a lioness swimming. And he went out and walked out to the middle of the pond and was like, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. And she comes like running in after him.
Yep.
And they said that he wouldn't let his dog in the water with him because the dog would claw the crap out of his back. But here he is like chilling, like literally he's standing in the middle of this pond and his lioness is draped over his shoulders. Just like, what up?
Yep. It was pretty crazy. So there's mutation happening. I mean,
all right. So it's officially pick your mutation time. Jer did not have an answer for this at the beginning of the show.
I still don't.
Oh, well, he's going to have to.
Are we talking power or superhero? We're talking about power, right?
Well, had to pick your power, if you could channel your energy into creating a mutation that would give you a certain power, Funk, what you got?
I would go with flight. I think, you know, of there's a few that are the gimmies, you know, invisibility, flight, teleportation, whatever.
Ooh.
I think
Funk really just wants to be able to get to girls' bathrooms fast. Did you hear that? Invisibility, flight, teleportation.
I'm not going to refute that statement.
Awkward laugh. Yes. Not going to refute it. Got it.
But no, flight, because flight has the benefits of being practical. You know, you can just take off and go wherever you need to go. And, you know, it's still fun. You get to fly around. So, yeah, that would be my choice.
Well, and actually, in while I was thinking about it just now, and then you started naming off things, teleportation was the first one that came to mind, because if I want to go have lunch in Paris...
Jared would be a jumper.
Totally. That I could do, yeah. Yes. Okay, so that would be my superpower.
Jared's a jumper.
Yeah.
Weak sauce. I'd be a telepath.
Why?
You really want to know what everybody's thinking about you.
You know what? Okay, you can know exactly how good lunch is in Paris. Congratulations.
Yeah, but if I have friends that are teleports, then you usually just, according to the rules they of superheroes, yeah, I could just hold your hand and I could know that we're going to lunch in Paris because I can read your mind and just be bamfing with you. Bamf.
Well, yeah, but if I'm sitting there going, this brie isn't quite up to standard, I don't want you knowing what I'm thinking, so why would I take you?
No, all right, first of all, being a telepath is not the ability to listen to everybody else, bitch. Being a telepath is knowing everything around you, if you want to know, and being able to control.
Control people's minds?
Yes.
You really, like...
Oh, in other words, you're taking me to Paris for lunch.
That's...
pretty much.
Okay.
And that's we're going to find the good brie this time.
That's total... That's cheating, though. That's the cheat code for life.
It's Professor X. It's Jean Grey. It's...
and they don't use
that
power for
Parkman from the Heroes.
That.
Yes.
They,
yes, they
usually.
Do.
Usually.
This is not the droid you're looking for. It happens.
you know, if you were going to use it subtly, that would be okay, but... Full-on control person.
Well, what if I don't want you using your flight. I don't want you flaunting your flight. You can use it subtly. You may hover 6 inches above the ground.
6 inches above the ground.
But you can't be flashy about it.
Damn. Nothing to see here. Just floating. Just floating.
Don't mind me.
And on that note.
So, yeah, interesting discussion. Superheroes.
Design your favorite superhero costume. pick your favorite superhero. Pick your favorite superhero power and post it on the Facebook page at facebook.com/thehalfhourhappyhour.
So thank you once again for joining us, and
we'll see you on the streets.
Up, up and away.
They're among us.
And see you.